CliffCentral.com.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his, three's company too. Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Ah, we're live.
It is Tuesday. It's basically like a mini Thursday today. Three's company too. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. Do you... yeah, I know. Do you know this song?
No.
Do you know? You don't know the show either, right?
Great show.
No, oh, it's a show even.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, are you kidding?
Oopsie, this just got super awkward.
No.
Well, not the first time, so yeah.
It's not
like
awkward.
What?
Three's Company used to be the... it used to be like the biggest sitcom on TV for a while, and everybody loved it. All right, morning, everybody. I thought we'd start a little unorthodox this morning. Why the hell not? Mabali's here. Sia's here. Ben is here.
Hello.
I am here, and we're all here for you. That's what we do. We wake up every morning and we come in here and we try to keep you entertained and informed and inspired and empowered. And for 3 hours, maybe we get that right for like an hour.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want from us, hey?
Yeah, I mean, we're not superhuman.
No, we're just a bunch of randoms.
Have we still got that president nobody likes?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you thought changed overnight.
Wishful thinking. Sometimes I have to check myself, you know. Sometimes I'm just one of those people who wishes things were better than they are.
Or that logic could somehow, you know, show up to the party.
Well, you know why I ask? Because this morning, the reason it popped into my head, I left a little bit earlier than usual today, and I got onto the highway. It was nice and quiet, and then all of a sudden in my rearview mirror, I see the blue light brigade.
Oh.
When last did you see one of these?
2 days, wait, was it 2 days ago?
They're all over.
It was very recently.
I hate the blue light brigade. I hate
this
them.
Time, that's definitely a driver shame.
Well, no, I don't know if it's driver shame. It's clearly one of these politicians off to some clandestine meeting, and they think, well, if we do it early enough, the people of this country won't realize what creeps we are.
Who qualifies for the blue light brigade? Is it all ministers? I mean, how does it work?
I know for sure that the president and the deputy president get their blue light brigade.
Yeah.
I know that they have, like, they're the prime blue light brigaders.
Right.
So if you see, and especially if it's a huge cavalcade, like the more cars and bikes and emergency vehicles there are in a cavalcade, the more likely it is to be the president. I know he's just expanded his bodyguard compliment as well because because people fucking hate him, and he knows that if he doesn't expand the number of people in his retinue, he could get killed. Of course, the joke about that is that danger always lurks closest to you. We know his one wife tried to poison him. So the bigger your retinue, the more people you have in your immediate proximity who could take you out. History will teach us that it was not some passerby on the streets who stabbed the fuck out of Julius Caesar. It was his fellow senators. Just, and not only his fellow senators, but his closest friends among those fellow senators. So, Gedlehegiza, I know you don't listen to us all that often, but every now and then you might have a chance. I know some of the people in your... I do know, actually, one or two people in his circle who do listen to us.
Oh, well, now.
Remind him that the greatest danger doesn't come from the people he's trying to protect himself from because he's ostracized himself so far from us. It actually comes from the people closest to you. And go through history and figure it out. Every great assassination has not been by a random. There are one or two, but mostly it's people who are close to you and people who know you really well. And I drove past this, or they drove past me, the Blue Light Brigade, and I counted 8 bikes. That's 8 people who had to wake up this morning and put on their Metro Police bike gear.
And it's cold.
And go to some stupid house where this fucking useless politician just woke up after sleeping with someone else's wife. Ooh. And they have to load him into the car like the trash that he is from last Thursday. They have to buckle him in. They have to say, all right, now, where would you like to go, Mr. Politician? And he goes, because he probably drank last night as well. And then they get in their little lineup, and these 8 Metro policemen on bicycles and about 12 other people who are driving various cars. And the bodyguards and the medical team and whoever else had to accompany this douchebag to wherever he's off to. And I say it's a he because I'm pretty sure it's a he. That's a very man thing to need a retinue, to need all your homies with you on this trip. And then they get to the meeting and these guys have to sit around all day. We're paying them, by the way. We're not paying them to look after us, which is ironically what we think our taxes are for. These are people in security mostly who are not interested in our safety at all. In fact, our safety is definitely second or third or fourth or fifth in their priority list compared to the safety of this one douchebag who made them wake up extra early this morning. And he's not paying them, we are. But trust me, you get in the way of a blue light brigade, you'll be pushed out of the way.
Yeah,
they'll smash you into the barricade if they have to.
I mean, I don't understand why that is the case, though. Or is it just this flexing of muscle thing that men like to do?
Delusion of importance. They just think they're so important, that what they're doing is so important.
No, I mean the blue light brigade itself. Why must they be so mean to us on the road?
Oh, well,
pushing and
bullying. Because that's
They remind me of tow truck drivers.
But it's not
when they're rushing to an accident.
They would never get it. Trust me, if that politician in the back of that car, if he said, guys, if he stopped at their destination, he got out and he went to each of these people once. He only has to do it once and say, guys, we're going to keep to the speed limit. We are not going to push civilians out of the way. We're going to be polite and we're going to remember our place as servants of the people. He'd have to say it once. Mm. And I know politicians who have done this.
Mm.
And those people have such respect then. They would never do that to us. The reason they do that is because they know that politician's attitude to us is, these people are meaningless. They're worthless. I treat them with disdain and get them the hell out of my way. I've got a meeting to go to. I am important. Me.
But I guess on...
That's what it is.
On the other side of the scale as well, isn't it also like a safety factor? Where like, what if they are being followed? Or not necessarily like it's a bond chase, but it's like a safety factor where like you need to
speed up. That's such nonsense.
I'm trying to diplomatic and see both sides.
I know, you're doing the devil's advocate thing, and you can. But it's like this whole made-up story about Nkosasana the other day that she was, very nearly something terrible happened, but nothing really happened, and nobody else except the police people who have been ordered to find an excuse to give her presidential VIP protection have any eyewitness accounts of anything that was slightly dodgy that happened. If you're a politician and you're popular and the people love you, and you're doing the people's work, the people are your bodyguards, and everywhere you go, they will look after you. Madiba used to go for a jog around Houghton on his own or with one security person. One. This is the most famous man when he was alive in the world. And you know what? If Madiba had encountered a hobo or some rich yenta, or if he'd bumped into someone with a knife who'd just gone on a killing spree, they would have all bowed down and said, hey, you're the most famous person in South Africa and you're our president. Can we have a chat quickly? And he would have stopped and talked to them.
Well, he would at times. I remember listening to an interview and one of his security personnel talking about how Madiba always stressed them out because he was that guy that would walk up to randoms and just chat to them and allow them into his private space.
That's
and it
awesome.
Was their job to keep these people away from him. So for them, it was this huge stress.
And he would say to them, no, don't keep the people away from
me. Yeah.
Now, when last did you see a politician in the ANC going around and actually talking to ordinary people? They're so busy talking to each other.
I know. It's the week before the elections.
That's right. That's exactly the time they do it. And you know what? It didn't help the ANC in the last elections. Let's remember. Oh, I spoke to Mampela Rampele yesterday.
Yes, finally.
I had a nice interview with her, which will play out, I'm not sure exactly when, but we'll play it out at some point in the next couple of days. I'll let you know. And again, she's one of those people who kind of dipped her toe into the water of party politics. And for better or worse, it didn't work out. And I mean, we joked about her and Helen and that kiss. Mm. You remember?
Oh, I do.
And we said,
we all
and we said, this is so terrible and it's so embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. But God bless her for trying. She really wanted to make a difference. It didn't happen. She's not politician material, though.
Which these days is actually not a bad thing to say about a person.
It's a compliment.
It's a
serious compliment. And I spoke to her again yesterday. And, despite all of the things, the misgivings, the hopes and dreams and aspirations that Achang might have carried with it at the time when she announced this, and even when there was that marriage between Achang and the DA that was touted, we were all like, oh, good, something new, something we could believe in. Because she's very rarely put a foot wrong in terms of what she says. You know, what she did was maybe different. And I think she came up hard against, she discusses it in the interview. I don't want to spoil the whole thing for you. But she basically says she went around to rural, poor communities. And she realized, like, there are a lot of black people in this country who just don't trust politicians.
Mm.
And they don't, they believe, they genuinely believe that if they don't vote for the ANC will take away things like their social grants. And no matter how many times she said to them, that's not possible. The ANC doesn't give you your social grants. The state does.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't tell the difference between the state and the ANC. She said, these are not stupid people, but they don't know those kinds of things because they didn't study that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They didn't get an education in political ideology or political systems or political science. So as far as they know, Jacob Zuma himself is taking money out of his pocket and giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you even start to convince people like that that they shouldn't vote for the douchebag politician in the back of that Blue Light Brigade's car?
Well, I mean, a good place to start is by not calling them stupid, which, you know.
But the politicians?
No, the people that the politicians get to manipulate and bully. Because this is the thing that we like to do is, you know, we'll say, oh, well, you know, those stupid people will still vote for the ANC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've met stupid people who are very well educated. Stupid arrives on all levels. And sometimes the cleverest people, the academics, the ones who have doctor's degrees and I chatted to a guy the other day who will remain nameless, but I was just blown away by how he didn't even know his own subject matter that he's a professor in. And I'm not saying I had better arguments than him, but in this case, I absolutely did. Perhaps he was having a bad day. Maybe he has been focused on other things. But this guy is like he's an academic. He's a smart academic, too. He's got great qualifications. You would think he'd know his particular area of expertise. And I got to be careful. I don't want to reveal who it is. But I was so disappointed in how how pedestrian this guy was. He just had nothing sensible to say. And every argument he made was fallacious. And it was like he'd been indoctrinated and he'd never questioned the source of that indoctrination. He'd never gone to basic principles and said, well, you know, this can't be the same as that. Therefore, they can't coexist. I've got to make a choice about which one is sensible and logical and rational, and which one isn't. He just could not do that. And this is an academic. So stupid does not exist in uneducated people. Stupid exists in all people. I've been stupid. Sia's been stupid. Mabali's been stupid.
I haven't been stupid. I'm just mentally different.
Oh, gosh. There you go, wanting to coin yet another phrase that the rest of us are expected to keep up with, or else we are politically incorrect.
I'm also physically different, mentally. But they call that handsome.
Do you know what they call mentally different? Retarded. That's what they call it.
Yeah, it's so funny that when you speak, the more Gareth is right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Gareth, it's often just a question of application. People have all the smarts, all the different things, but they just make bad decisions and apply themselves poorly. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. Hey, where are you off to today? I see you got your golf clubs here and everything else.
It's a friend of mine's birthday, so he's organized a plane to leave Lanseria and go back to Sun City.
Excuse me now? A private plane?
Yeah.
Benjamin, who's this friend of yours? And what are these circles you roll in?
Straight, and how straight can Sia get in?
Like, I'm not talking about that. Like, we can all just be bros hanging out. Okay, fine, whatever. But what sort of plane are we talking about? Like one of the...
Sia, follow me on Instagram. You'll see a picture of a plane later. I don't know.
Oh, wait. But hired it, right? Or is it his?
It's not his.
But does it like belong to his father?
No.
Because I can still dip in that pool.
Oh, my God. Sia wants a daddy. You want a daddy? You want a rich daddy?
Listen, I don't care if I have a two-second oxygen tank situation.
You don't mind, you don't mind if you have a blesser?
No.
Are you looking for one right now?
I will rather cry of being tormented by this little 90-year-old situation on a private plane. Okay.
Oh, Sia. You be careful what you wish for. I can introduce you. I can introduce you to blessees who are not happy people right
Listen,
now.
Listen, I'm taking submissions.
All right.
Oh, okay. That sounded. Never mind. All right. Back to Ben.
Listen, a little bit later on, Mbali Njomani will pop by with another episode of How to Argue Better.
Yeah, that was great last time.
Yeah, last time she was really on fire, and so she's going to join us. April Fooling Around today with Chris Forrest, and we haven't had her in yet. I mean, I'm excited about Chris Forrest, but Celeste Ntuli.
Oh!
Who I've been waiting to meet for such a long time, so she's popping by as well. We're going to have a great morning with them. And then, you got to remind me, do we have time now? Yeah we've got a little bit of time. My sister's boyfriend went up to the DRC.
Oh.
A little while ago. He told me some fascinating things about that country. Now, you know, when we think of the DRC, we think of like Joseph Conrad's darkest Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something that they do that we don't do that they're better at than us?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there's a lot.
But there's one thing that I was very struck by. He said that they were driving around in, I think they were in Kigali, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he just saw everybody cleaning up, like picking up paper and plastic and like tidying up, like, you know, sort of raking up dead stuff. And the place just looked pristine. And he asked the guy who was with them, who's from the Congo, said, so what's going on here? He said, oh, every week there's a day in the week that there's a rule that everybody has to clean up around them. And you have to clean up until you don't see any rubbish anymore. If that means you have to, you know, walk 500 meters from your house to pick up some garbage or whatever, you do it. And as a result, and they all gather up their rubbish and they throw it away and they keep the country tidy.
So is that a national law?
It's a national law. It's not a law, but it's like if you don't do it, the other people in your community will fuck you up.
Sounds good.
No, this is terrific. This is such a basic thing. You know, we talk about, and I know loads of people don't like him, but Rudy Giuliani, when he was in America, when he was mayor of New York, he's still in America. When he was mayor of New York, he had a policy called the broken window policy, which meant that if you want to start improving a neighborhood, if you want to start improving people's feeling of self-worth, if you want to start removing criminal and gangster and ghetto mentalities from communities, you have to start with the basics. You have to give them a clean environment, and they have to start believing in that they deserve to live in a clean environment. Because in this country and in parts of New York City, you have people who have no self-worth. They feel like they're the shit and the dregs of society, right?
Mm.
And as a result, they don't have any self-belief. They are unable to pull themselves out of poverty. They're unable to stop being criminal. They're unable to have pride in their own existence, which is the first step towards ultimate self-actualization, which is the point of life.
Sure.
So without being too grand about this, the people of the Congo have a lot more self-worth than people who live in squalor. Because even though they might be poorer than we are, perhaps, and than our poorest of the poor is, and there are loads of Congolese people, they've been through war and war and war and war. It just basically hasn't stopped.
Mm.
And they were victimized in a far harsher sense than almost anyone else in Africa by King Leopold II of Belgium, who just treated it as his own personal private property, and the people there were just his slaves, and they were he would murder them, he'd work them to death. This guy, look up Leopold II, and you will read about a particularly odious son of a bitch. But the people of the Congo have every reason to feel sorry for themselves, and probably don't have, if you take it on the face of things, a lot to live for. There's abject poverty. Just surviving, just being alive is an achievement. And yet, I guarantee you that little things like keeping your environment clean, because then you can have pride in where you live, you can keep yourself clean. When you keep yourself clean, you can go out and convince other people that it's worth doing business with them, trading with them, speaking to them, engaging with them. When you have that kind of basic pride at that level, everything gets better from there on. And the broken window syndrome is basically if there's a broken window in a building, people will not want to live in that building because that building is starting to become derelict. You can see the first steps towards destruction. But if every window in every building is a clean plate of glass. People want to be there. They see the place as being, you know, well looked after, sacred, worth protecting, worth maintaining. So where you see destruction, and that's why, you know, a street full of potholes, all the property prices go down.
Oh, Rosettenville, the picture I showed you yesterday.
Exactly.
At some point, that place slipped.
But I loved the story because it's such a small thing. We don't even manage to do that. Because we suppose ourselves to be better than a lot of other African countries. And we do. South Africans have got a massive superiority complex.
Yeah,
we do.
It's interesting. I wonder, though, how they got everyone together, because for someone to even take the onus to go, hey, listen, neighbor X,
I've seen this
shape
happen.
Up.
I've seen this happen.
How do you change someone's mindset like that?
In my neighborhood, there's a community group. I refuse to be on the WhatsApp group, but I know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And they go around and they clean the rivers up every week. There's someone or a group of them who go and pick up litter, and you know that therefore the whole place looks better and better people want to come and live there, and the people who are there have more self-worth.
Mm.
If you live in filth, even a pig, because think about the pigs for a second, because we consider them dirty animals, right? That's the general consensus is that pigs are dirty. That's not true. They're dirty when humans put them into small pens, and they're forced to live in very close proximity to each other and wallow in their own filth. But if you find a wild pig, a bush pig or any of those, they tend to be very organized animals. They're very intelligent. They build themselves little bowers. They don't shit where they eat. They try to keep stuff tidy. If a pig can do that, it's embarrassing and humiliating for a human to live in this squalid, less salubrious circumstances. So for humans, the very least you can do is live in cleanliness rather than filth. And if the people of the Congo have realized that, and we haven't in South Africa, and I'm not talking about just poor neighborhoods, I'm talking about rich neighborhoods too, there's litter everywhere. This country is just filthy.
Yeah.
I see like plastic garden chairs broken and standing outside people's houses. I see people with like the laundry line right in front of their front door. You know, people just don't have, they don't want to be seen to be better. And that's the first step towards... Oh, bless you. It's the first step towards just not being better. Mm. You know, we're all looking for reasons for other people to respect us, but we don't respect ourselves. It's such a small thing, but it's so big in terms of its consequences. So I heard that about the DRC, and I thought, you know what? Got to at least mention it so that maybe some people pick up on it and they start going, well, I can start doing that in my neighborhood.
You know, like during those marches recently, everyone I spoke to who went to them said the same thing. Like, this was a unifying experience. Can you imagine these communities come out and do this all together? Again, it's a unifying experience. So you might think that your neighbors are rapists and drug addicts, but then spend some time with them, they might not be.
And not only that, but do something together to make the whole neighborhood better and watch how everything improves. Everything.
It's such a win-win.
All right, let's get into some news. It's time with Mabali Moloi at about 6:30. This is what we do every morning, is Mubs casually breezes in and gives us a couple of headlines, and then we know more about the world. So that when we bump into someone who we don't particularly like, who doesn't know what's going on in the world, we can lord it over them and tell them how they don't know a goddamn thing. So here she is, Mabali Moloi, with the news brought to you by Kolkakio Pizzeria. They have a menu that'll boggle your mind. Kolkakio. 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 Pizzeria. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
don't say we're always serious.
I don't
hear some people after my little diatribe just now going, what a serious show.
Oh, okay. It has elements of everything, this show. Serious, silly, stupid. It's all rounded. I don't know how your day at work was yesterday, but I know for a fact that you didn't have a whole minister threatening to issue a warrant of arrest for your ass.
I know who you're talking about. This is the funniest story. Did you see all this stuff on Twitter?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Mr. Burning Jameso. What an eventful day you had yesterday. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so we'll begin in the morning where it was reported that Ntlemeza walked in at work on Monday. You know, like, everybody was like,
hey guys.
Everybody's like, why are you here? He just walks in defiance of a court order that set aside his appointment. And then, not only that, he signed out a car which he used to roam around Pretoria in.
That's the part of the story I loved. He's roaming around Pretoria. Yeah.
He basically doesn't... This shows you how much he has to do on a daily basis. He checks out a car and then he just drives away.
Just cruising for checks.
Like, I don't know what to do. You guys don't have work for me. Clearly no one in the building wants me here.
And those words roaming around are actually the words of the police minister, Fikile Mbalula, who said, we have been informed that General Ntlemeza entered the management meeting of the Hawks at their headquarters, and he ordered the head of supply chain to give him a car, which is roaming around the streets of Pretoria, or wherever he is. This was now Mbalula speaking. He also had a cell phone in his possession, right? So that was yesterday morning. Then by yesterday afternoon, Ntlemeza's lawyer had to, you know, get a hold of his client to say, listen, my guy, like, you have to return these things. You have to return this cell phone. You have to return this vehicle, which I don't know how long it took before Mr. Ntlemeza decided, okay, fine. I will return these things. I mean, it probably happened after Mbalula then said that a warrant of arrest should be issued for Ntlemeza, right?
So,
because now the police minister's like, ha, I'll show you.
What do you think he was doing? Did he think he stopped for a coffee?
I don't know what he was doing.
Checked in at a Shebeen, masturbated furiously in the car. Yeah. What was he doing?
I have no idea.
What a strange way to behave.
I mean, is he the kind of guy who would, I don't know, end up at the Saxon World Shebeen maybe? I don't. Oh no, he was in Pretoria. He was definitely in Pretoria because they were keeping a track on him. And then eventually by the end of the day, Ntlemeza's lawyer did say that yes, his client had returned the car and the phone that he had taken from the Hawks. However, according to the lawyer, Comfort Ngidi, he says that his client has done nothing wrong and has called on the police minister not to interfere in the matter. The minister has reiterated that Ntlemeza is no longer head of the unit following a court order which ruled he is neither fit nor proper to hold the position. I think it was 2 or so weeks ago that Fikile Mbalula appointed Yolisa Matakata as the acting head.
Wow.
So there's Mr. Ntlemeza walking in, but there's already somebody who was appointed in the interim. I don't know what he thought he was going to do at work yesterday.
Wow.
But yeah. Also, according to Ntlemeza's lawyer, he's going to appeal the whole decision that was taken by the courts to say that he is not fit to hold office. So the man is not going down without a fight. But yes, what an eventful day at the office.
This Burning Ntlemeza, though, he's such an interesting guy. I saw all the stuff on Twitter about where his car is, where is he roaming around, and where is the cell phone. And there were pictures of, like, people looking into stormwater drains and digging in the ground, and everybody saying, trying to find Burning Ntlemeza,
yes.
You know?
Yeah. Those are the days that we really love Twitter, is when people can just take something and have fun with it. I mean, I don't know if Mr. Ntlemeza is going to report for work this morning, for example. He mustn't.
Apparently, according to the lawyers, though, he should.
Oh, should he?
According to the lawyers, he's got every right to be at work. And Fikile is not allowed to appoint someone else.
But Fikile already appointed somebody 2 weeks ago. What happens to that person that was appointed?
I wish I knew. You see, this is why our labor law in this country is screwed up. It's why we're paying for so many people to have suspensions. Or while they're under investigation, they get full paid leave. We should just be able to fire people, really, especially in government. In government above all, you should be able to just fire people. And not only to fire them without pay, but to fire them and claim back money.
Ooh.
If they were bad.
Now we'll need to tell more people to pay back the money.
Wouldn't that be great, though? I mean, that's one thing we could do. If you're in politics and you steal or you lie, remember, Burning Ntlemeza has been described by the court, the the SCA, I think it was, or at least the Pretoria High Court, as being an untrustworthy person.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't look good in the CV. Huh? Don't want to put that.
That he has, according to the court, a court of law, that he has no integrity. I mean, the things they've said about him are horrendous. If those things were said about you, you would never work again. You'd never be able to get a job. You wouldn't be hired to break rocks. I'm telling you. So it's just phenomenal that Burning in Tlemcen has lasted as long as he had. And you could see what kind of person he is. He checks in at work, grabs a car, drives around. This is not someone who's useful to us. This is a very basic human being who was plucked out of obscurity by a president who needed an ally in a powerful position, like the head of Hawks. Because remember, he destroyed the Scorpions, disbanded them because they were investigating him.
Yeah.
Then he made the Hawks happen. Then he put someone who's his close friend and a complete a reprobate in as the boss of the Hawks, someone who has evidenced their uselessness by stealing a car and a cell phone and going on a drive just so that he can get away from his responsibilities. You're out. According to the lawyers, though, he's still in.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Who knows?
The legal stuff that is. And then, allegedly, apparently, there is some or other sort of hit list that people are on and are now a little bit concerned about. ANC Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa says he has already spoken to Lindiwe Sisulu about death threats that she has revealed. And he added that his name also appears alongside this hit list.
Oh, my God.
So Ramaphosa, of course, was speaking at the Chris Hani Memorial over the weekend, which took place in Uitenhagen, Port Elizabeth. Lindiwe Sisulu also gave an address. Both of them basically challenged the ANC president, saying that what you're doing is wrong and, you know, we can't continue on this path. Now, Sisulu did confirm to the media that, you know, she received intelligence back in June last year already that her life was in danger, that she was apparently on this hit list.
Sorry, guys, but you've been mixing with these kinds of people. What did you expect?
She told the paper that some people might want her dead because there is a misguided view that any outspoken person who does not speak their language is against them. Oh! Now, Ramaphosa added that he had already spoken to Sisulu about the threats. What she is worried and complained about is something we should all be worried about as a country, according to the deputy president.
Just by the way, because I don't care about Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa's safety or even Lindiwe Sisulu's. These people have been in cabinet with the only person who could have authorized something like this, the only person who has an interest in threatening people's lives. That's the president. You've been bosom buddies for how long? Now that he turns on you, you want our support? You want our protection? We don't care. How about that? You've chosen bad company. Now, lie in that bed. It's not our problem.
But it seems like a natural chain of events. Speak out against president, talk about death threats.
By the
this
way,
isn't the first time, huh?
I loved Julius's tweet yesterday. He said, South Africans, please help locate this crook. He's in possession of state vehicle and cell phone without authorization. Wanya Tsotsi. and a picture of Burning in Tlemcen with, like, he's got, how many teeth has he got left? Because he's got so many missing. Right?
He's a rough cat.
How does someone like, how did someone like this become an important role player in South Africa? How did that happen? How low are our standards? You know, we talk about, you know, excellence. Oh, by the way, this is interesting. Someone's just sent me a WhatsApp to explain the whole thing in the Congo. First of all, they corrected me. Thank you for that. Kigali is in Rwanda, not the Congo. And the neighborhood cleanup is called Umuganda, which loosely translates to coming together to achieve common purpose.
Umuganda.
Yeah, so there's something we could definitely incorporate. And someone else saying, brilliant show. I travel within Africa regularly on business, and I'm ashamed, but South Africa is the filthiest and most technologically retarded country in Africa. Have an awesome day, Daryl.
Yeah.
We are.
Get off your high horses, sure, South Africans.
And we think we're at the top because we have a Sandton Mall.
Gosh, we're so disillusioned.
And a Caltrain.
We are completely disillusioned.
All right, I think we've got to get into some sport, right?
Yes, yeah. Because I will tell you about Henry van Breda after 7.
Wow, yeah, this is really good to talk about.
Oh, no. Exciting stuff. Here is Ben.
Well, I told you yesterday, this is the exciting part of the football season. So even if you're kind of on the fence or not too much in the giving a shit category, this is when the big stuff happens. Yesterday, we spoke about Lincoln City getting promoted to the big time, as in to back to league football. Well, Newcastle United are going back to the Premier League. So what generally happens is when you get relegated, everyone cries. Everyone then shouts and throws crap at the manager and or players or everyone. And then you go into the Nationwide Division, and there's a very good chance that teams continue to drop. It's one of these things because you've got these young, great up-and-coming teams that build momentum on the way up. You're on the way down. Newcastle, though, I think a lot of this has got to do with the fact that Rafa Benitez said, I'm going to stick with this team or we're going to get back into the Premier League. Uh-huh. Here's a guy that could have coached anywhere in the world, been a manager at all the big squads, made the big money. But he said, no, I'm sticking by this team. I believe in this team. We've had a bad season. We've had a bad run. Mm-hmm. And we will change this. And change it, they bloody well have. Because yesterday, they beat Preston's North End 4-1. And that means they are guaranteed a place in the Premier League next year. They'll join Brighton, who also go up. And it must be the greatest thing for those people who live in Newcastle. Not a lot of highlights there, I guess. And then all the people from around the world who support them as well. And, yeah. It is the time where you're going to see all kinds of emotion coming out, all kinds of great stories, and then the sad stories of all the teams that drop down. So I shall bring you all of those and more as we get closer to their summer break, which will obviously be our middle of winter here in South Africa. Nedbank Cup, the Chippa United have been drawn against Sivasspor United for the first semi-final, and Golden Arrows will take on Orlando Pirates. So everybody is kind of wanting the whole Pirates versus Sivasspor United final. Sivasspor United are the defending champs in the competition. And, well, Chippa not doing so great. Golden Arrows there, thereabouts. Nothing too special either. So, big favourites, but can they be upset? Time shall tell. In the English Premier League, tonight we'll see Chelsea versus Southampton. So Chelsea kind of, as I said yesterday, back on track after walloping Spurs in the FA Cup semi-final.
Yes.
So there's, I think, 6 games left in the season. And Chelsea don't really have too many big games to worry about. They've played all the big teams. They've pretty much beaten all the big teams. Spurs, on the other hand, they've still got to play Man United. And I think they've still got to play Leicester as well. So that'll be tonight at 8:45, Chelsea versus Southampton. Also tonight in the Premier, so the PSL is the soccer league here of Premier Nature. Wits will take on Sivasspor United at 7:30. Then Sundowns will take on IS Cape Town at 7:30. At the same time, Cape Town City versus Kaizer Chiefs. So you are in for a bumper night of local football. To put that into context, those teams are in action. This is what the log looks like currently in the PSL. At the top, Cape Town City. They've played 24 matches. They've got 46 points. So they're clear by one. Bidvest Wits, they are second, so they've played 2 games less, and they got 1 point less, so they, I still believe, are the favourites here. Chiefs, they're in third, they've played 24, they're on 45 points, equal with that of Wits. And then fourth place, we've got Sundowns, who've played 22 matches on 44 points. So, mathematically, all 4 of those teams can actually lay claim to the fact that they really are in inside track to win this. Steve Compella from Kaizer Chiefs said that, unfortunately, the fate is probably in the hands of other teams if they were to win major silverware this year, which is him probably just being modest. The evolution of Steve Compella and what he says is something to always look out for. He's a guy who was teaching people English in many ways and forms, and the subject of many great memes, but he seems to be kind of toning it down a bit. It's almost like he's learning and he's kind of applying this kind of knowledge quite quickly. So an exciting title race there. I'll actually give you a proper rundown of who's got what left so we can kind of make some more informed speculation on that. But yeah, there's big matches tonight. Look out for that. And Gareth, this week also ties in with Maria Sharapova coming back to tennis.
Yes, your favorite tennis player of all.
Yeah.
You have such nice things to say about her.
Look, ultimately, I think she's just a whining tart. But I mean, many people love her. She obviously has won the major Grand Slams. There is a big deal around, a little hype around her. Because she is blonde and slender, she got a lot of big endorsement deals through her time. And some people say she's really good for the sport. I think she's dreadful. But again, it's not about me. It's about people. It's about bums on seats. And that's what the people in Stuttgart believe will happen. Bums on seats to see Sharapova moan her way back into tennis. Now, I know my buddy Malloy is very keen to see this as well. But ultimately, if it's not Serena, does anyone really care too much about women's tennis right now?
Oh, snap.
See, Gareth doesn't even put your microphone on. That's a little irritating about that.
Just step back in.
There are a lot of people who vehemently hate Serena Williams that will be very happy to not see her perform over the next few months.
Okay, but apart from the sexist racist, I mean,
no, I mean, I'm just talking about people who are genuinely not fans of Serena Williams and are genuinely irritated at the fact that she dominates the sport that much.
I kind of felt like that once about Pete Sampras. Remember when he was the only game in town for a long while?
Yeah, he had that charm period in the 90s.
But he was such a loathsome human.
Well, he had so much hair.
What?
I mean, he was
just a very big ball of hair.
He was American with all the genetics of all of Greece.
But
he literally had to have his back lawn, like at Wimbledon.
I know what Mubs is saying, but here's a conspiracy theory for you. Did this Sharapova, did she announce that she was coming back before or after Serena announced that she was pregnant?
Well, it was obviously before, because all she was looking for was for her ban to end and then to get tournament invites, because she's been out of the game long enough that her world ranking no longer really exists. So she basically has to win this week to have any chance of making it into the French Open. She has to win and win quickly, because she can't even get into the qualifying areas where people literally are fighting each other for like a biscuit. And that's how competitive those lower runs are. So it's going to be very different. It's a very different career now.
Okay.
In that in the past, she would pick and choose where she wants to go, what she wants to do, and she was guaranteed all the big tournaments. Now she has to scrap it out with those girls that might not have great teeth. Might not have lots of fans, and those chicks will want to take her down.
Look, I'm also not a fan of Maria Sharapova. I love watching her get beaten. So I'm hoping to see your Simona Halep's and your
Pliskova.
Angelique Kerber's, you know, wiping the court clean with her. I mean, I'll watch that.
I'd also watch that.
Yeah.
And no way do I mean that in a vindictive or malicious sense. I want to see that. Because the whole thing is, she'll start with a in the beginning, and eventually it'll be like, because she'll be so upset and frustrated. And then she'll start shouting, and then eventually she won't have the crowd on her side either. And that all sounds very mean. Let me change that. Not really at all. I think you get what you deserve in life.
Yeah.
And if she was so arrogant as to think that she could just not read these messages from the anti-doping agencies that were pretty clear saying, this thing you've been taking for so long, please stop taking it.
Mm.
And then she's like, well, I'm Maria Sharapova. I have sugar and stuff, and I'm so blonde.
You really hate her. All right. If you could put your nastiness and prejudice aside, Ben, what else do you want to tell us?
Well, Gareth, it's Tuesday, so basically there's always a bit of football happening. Rugby is a few days away. Not looking great for SA all of a sudden. Sharks were crap over the weekend. The Storm was of a tour of New Zealand, which is looking like an impossible trip. The Lions are going to Australia, where they'll basically play the weakest of the teams in Super Rugby. All the Australians are crap right now. Golf, yeah, we'll get to that later in the week. There is no later in the week. There's tomorrow. So basically, I will bring you everything else tomorrow.
Let's not forget, Friday is a working day. Most of the country is meant to be at work. I don't know how much work will actually be done, but it's actually not a holiday, just in case you were worried that you were missing out if you didn't have Friday off. A lot of people are going to be at work and doing their thing, so let's not get too carried away. All right, it's time for us to check in with Anthea on that note, and Ben, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, I'll stick around.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you had to rush. All right, no problem. Let's get straight to Anthea then. No messing around here, not on this show. And here she is with her theme music.
She works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money. Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right.
That's right. Anthea, listen to that. Isn't that beautiful? Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right.
It's all very good today. Mm-hmm. Global markets were on fire yesterday, and that's all thanks to the outcome of the French elections. I think it was more than just a sigh of relief. It really was just the risk on trade is back.
Let's just remember this is only round one. The French are so weird. Have you heard how they do their elections?
In yes. In
the French way.
Oh, my God. The French are so otherwise. They really are. First of all right, so in South Africa, Anthea, you go up to the table, you get your ballot paper, you just tick or cross next to the person you want, right?
No, you tick next to the party you want, don't you?
Yeah. But well, you know what I mean, the party that you want. And you then fold it in half and you put it in the ballot box and that's you done.
Mm-hmm.
In France, You have to go up and get these printed cards with the names of all the candidates on them. No party propaganda or logos on them. It's just the printed name of the person. It's like a visitor's card. And you can pick up one or two, but you can also pick up all 11 if you want to. And then you go to the booth and you put the name of the one that you are going to vote for in the envelope. Envelope. You seal the envelope and you put that in there. And the others you throw away into the rubbish bin.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a bit.
I mean, so like complicated. And this is only round one. So now what happens is that they have a round two sometime in May. And that's when they actually elect their president.
Such right, so that's on the 7th of May. And then they have to choose between either Macron or Marine Le Pen.
Correct.
So what you're saying is very interesting because I read your article that you posted yesterday. So I'm beginning to understand what you were saying about her being a lot more moderate than she appears. But then, you know, last night she stepped down as head of the Front National.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's trying to distance herself from her party and this kind of very far right label that they've got.
It's a good move by her. It's very smart.
Yeah, you spotted it yesterday, though.
And there's only a few percentage points that separates her from Macron. So.
But I think what happened yesterday with the elections and why the markets really liked it, because actually not just did Macron win, but the three of the other three main candidates actually came out in support of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's all about. And he's an ex-merchant banker, and so if he wins, he promises tax cuts, lower corporate tax. You know, the European banks were flying yesterday, and the CAC 40 was up 4%. Actually, overall, Europe was much higher. The DAX was up 3.5%, as was the Spanish IBEX. So really pretty kind of – and just globally, I think everyone just sighed a sigh. Well, more than that, they were very happy that Europe's not going to – or they think that Europe's not going to come undone just yet.
Okay.
And then for us, the Rand finally traded below 13 to the U.S. dollar. In fact, it flirted with 12.90. But I see it's back above 13 this morning. And then only $1.4 billion traded on the JSE yesterday. I think a lot of people are still on holiday. Of course, our banks had a fabulous run. Barclays was up 4%, First Rand 2.5%. Gold shares, on the other hand, were down 5%. But that's very much kind of global sentiment. You know, it's risk on safe haven assets no one cares about suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And then despite the stronger rand, Steinhoff was up over 5%. And I think that again has more to do with the French elections because Steinhoff has a Frankfurt listing. So obviously a lot of buying going through in the European market.
Right.
And then we had a couple of trading updates. Anglo-American put out a production report, broadly positive. Iron ore and metallurgical coal exceeding expectations. I think the impact of Cyclone Debbie in Australia will really only have an impact in the next quarter. So pretty decent production reports for Anglo-American. Anglo Platinum also pretty much in line. Kumba, excellent result. But those shares not performing as well as kind of our local rand-sensitive or interest rate-sensitive stocks. And then Consolidated Infrastructure released their first half results yesterday. Bit of a mixed bag. Revenue and their EBITDA, their earnings, was up, but their headline earnings per share was down 18.5%. So the market really not liking that. The share was down 4% yesterday. You know, it's one of those companies, like you remember Martin, it's one of his favorite companies, and he keeps going, we have to buy this. But it just feels like no matter what they do, the time is just not right for them. You know, they're kind of very dependent on South African economic growth, and that's really not going anywhere at this stage. So maybe it's too early to buy.
All right.
And then lastly, in case anyone is interested, I see Jimmy Choo have put themselves up for sale. They IPO'd in, you know, the shoe business. They IPO'd in 2004. The share has rallied 75% since last year, June. And in fact, yesterday was up 10%. And I think I found it interesting because it's held by an investment company. And basically, it's a German Reimann family. And they're basically selling down their luxury brands to focus on coffee. So they're also the investment company behind Douwe Egberts, the brand, the coffee brand.
Yeah.
And I look at it. Of course, I look at kind of it as a benchmark for like the Richemonts of the world, which, of course, we're heavily invested in. Although I don't think Johann Rupert's suddenly going to sell down his luxury jewelry and watch businesses and buy coffee. In fact, I'm not even sure he's going to use his huge 1.2 billion euro cash pile that's sitting in Richemont to get into coffee. But who knows? Maybe, you know, I think there are definite trends in the investment world.
Right.
And so that's it, really. I mean, I think really investors.
I think Mubs has got a question for you.
Sure.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting because they do shoes, fragrances. What else does Jimmy Choo do?
Bags.
Yeah.
I don't think they do clothing. I think you've covered it. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, coffee. That's very interesting. Strange.
Yeah.
Very diverse investment portfolio, right?
Well, at one point, wasn't coffee one of the most expensive commodities in the world? I mean, we're going back quite some time into history here, but, you know, sugar at one point was worth more than gold. Coffee was once very hard to come by. I saw something fascinating the other day, Anthea, and maybe you can help us figure out more about this when you do. I know you like from time to time to do a little bit of research in each of these resources, but, you know, the cocoa bean, the cocoa plant that makes cacao that we use to make the chocolate.
Yeah.
So it's mostly, they get it from Senegal or the Ivory Coast. It's a very much a West African specific thing. And the people there who farm this stuff don't actually know what chocolate is.
That is interesting.
I saw a video on YouTube the other day of a guy who's a farmer in Senegal. And he has, for the first time, he experiences tasting chocolate because he's not sure what they do with the beans. He thinks that wherever it goes, those people just eat it for food or whatever. And when he tastes chocolate for the first time, he can't believe it comes from the cacao, from the cocoa bean. And I just thought that this was a, you know, I wonder how many people out there are busy farming or mining or doing something to get stuff out of the ground or off of trees. And they're never really sure of what the end destination is. But I watched this video, and then he goes to all his friends who are also cocoa farmers, and he says to them, hey, guys, look, take a taste of this, because this is what our product eventually ends up being. But nobody had bothered to explain that to them.
That is incredibly interesting. I will definitely go and have a look at that.
And there's a YouTube video of it, and apparently the price of chocolate in West Africa is extremely high. Which is ironic because they're the ones who produce the stuff that makes chocolate.
Yeah.
You know? So very fascinating stuff. Anyway, go and have a look at that.
Will do.
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets and a whole lot more. Let's get our morning off to a good start, shall we? We've got some news coming up with Mubs. We'll check in on some of the stories that you've been wondering about, like Henry van Breda. There's some exciting stuff there.
And his story, Gareth. He tells his story for the first time.
He's messy.
What a story, though.
And I mean, Sia is like, whew, this guy.
No, he is messy. I read up on his statement, and it's just so odd. But, yeah, I don't know.
You want to find out all about that and more? It's coming up. Next. And Mbalin Jomani will come in to tell us how to argue better in a little while too. So loads of stuff to keep you amused and entertained. Later on in the show, Celeste Ntuli and Chris Forrest, two of the funniest people in South Africa, to bring up our second last week of April fooling around.
Aww.
I know we've had fun with all these comedians.
Yeah, we have.
But don't worry, for when is Mother's Day? It's in May, right?
In like a couple of weeks. Yeah. Like three weeks.
So we're going to be doing a Mother's Day special. We'll be bringing in famous people and their moms, or famous moms and their kids, and talk to them about mothers and their children and those relationships, which obviously are, you know, they're primary. And in this country, we don't always get to meet the moms behind the superstars, or the superstar moms and then their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You always imagine that you can't possibly do it all. Well, some of these women do. And some of these kids owe a lot to their moms for where they are. We'll get to meet all of them in the month of May for our Mother's Day specials. So we're going to do a couple of these specials over the next few weeks, and I hope you'll enjoy them. If you've got any suggestions of what you'd like us to cover, you know what you can do. You can always email me, Gareth@cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.